I'm thinking to myself, does this guy want me to drop like $3 or something? And I'm thinking to myself, you're not the right customer for me. If you are weighing that small amount up, you're not the right customer for me. And it's about being brave and saying, you are not the right customer for me.
Hey guys, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast, the only show handcrafted for small business entrepreneurs looking to explode their business. It's time to get your mind right so you can get your grind right. Are you ready? Hey everybody, thank you for joining me here on the Quick Talk Podcast. My name is Joshua Latimer, and you guys already know, because I say it every time, but my job is to bring you actionable insights from some of the small business success stories all over the world. Today I'm joined by my friend from the United Kingdom, all the way across the Atlantic, Lee Burbidge, and there's a good chance many of you know who he is, because he's definitely internet famous. He's got a successful YouTube channel, he's all over the place online, he's a media guy, but he started as a cleaning business back in 1999. He's also the founder and editor of Window Cleaning Magazine, which is a very popular, the most popular cleaning magazine in our industry in the world. And there's 10 to 15,000 cleaners reading this thing every month. He's an influencer. He's a good guy. And he's my friend. Lee, how are you? How are you doing over there?
How you doing, Josh? Thanks for having me today.
I'm super excited to talk to you. I've been trying to track you down for some time, but you travel all over the place doing God knows what. I mean, I see you in Europe and I see you in all over the... I mean, really, you've been a ton of places. But before we get into some of that, can you give us a little history on, you know, how you got into the cleaning business? The market there is so different. What's your story?
To be honest, who would have thought that from going all over the world began from, you know, starting off a small window cleaning, residential window cleaning business in an estate in the middle of England. But as it was, I used to be a sales rep for a printing company. And a friend of mine said to me that he said, well, you know, have you ever thought about window cleaning? Because I got made redundant for the third time. And I said, well, no, dude, I used to have a company car the other week and so forth. And I didn't give it that much thought, but my friend pressed me and we decided to go and, you know, practice window cleaning with another friend who had a window cleaning business. And it suddenly dawned on me that perhaps growing a window cleaning business was probably where it was at for me. For my friend, what he wanted was, he wanted full-time pay for half the work. And that was his goal. He wanted to go surfing, that type of thing. And I didn't know what I wanted to begin with. But as I practiced and grew my business, I knew that I wanted to create a business with people in it. I wanted to earn money off scaling up, really. And my friend, Philip Mulligan, my friend was called Phil. He used to, because it's about vision as well. It's taking that vision and imagining where you want to be. I always used to think about having multiple vans and multiple staff. And my friend who I started the window cleaning business off used to mock me. And he said, oh, you think you're going to be this big and that big. And, you know, and it would put me off a little bit to a certain degree. In the early days, we split apart, and then we split the business, and I started to grow my business. And I felt like I needed to prove something to this guy as well. And I remember that at the beginning, we started with £60, so what, like $90, $100 a month? That's all the customers we had. And we grew it to an extent where we split the business up. I started doing marketing, thinking about how I could get more customers. And I remember ringing my old friend up saying, hey, I just beat my target this month. It's 20,000. Then a few months, I was going, it's 30,000, it's 40,000, it's 50,000. It was going 100, 200, 300. It was exploding.
Yes.
And this guy is probably eating his hat right now. But, you know, he dropped out of window cleaning shortly after that anyway. And he went into a plastering job and so forth. So, and when I look at him now, he is self-employed doing, doing this plastering job, but he doesn't have a business that he could build on and grow and sell. It's almost, he's put himself in a position of a job. He's created himself a job, which is, you know, I can't take that away from him. He's self-sufficient. He's probably doing what he originally wanted to do in the first place. And that's like, you know, sort of get full-time money for half the time invested, you know, he's probably happy with that, you know?
Absolutely. And you bring up a really good point, because there's nothing wrong with wanting to be what I've been calling them is an artisan. You want to keep it small. You want to keep it simple. Absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But like you said, whatever your vision is for your company, we need to all move towards that. And we need to move towards it with everything we got. And for you, you had a similar vision to me. You wanted an automated system that could serve you and your family and could become an asset. I mean, for me, making an impact on employees and trying to change their lives as well. And just having a team. I've always been that guy that likes to have a team and thinks big. And whatever the case is, whoever's listening to this, I think the point Lee is making is, you know, they had two different visions for their company that were incompatible with each other. So they parted ways, and Lee, you executed on it. And I know you're a humble guy and you don't advertise the fact, but I mean, you built $1 million business in the UK from scratch. And that's an unbelievable feat, because so many people don't understand how big this market is and what's possible if you just, you know, move from step one to step two to step three and you put those systems into place. And speaking of that, you know, what are some of the differences over there? I know you didn't just do window cleaning, you did some office cleaning too, but in general, there's differences with the way that you guys, you know, do stuff there compared to here in the States. Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you this, right? And you've got to be really happy about this, Josh. I know from my surveys and my data and through my knowledge and experience that you US window cleaners earn probably 2 to 3 times more than a UK window cleaner.
Why is that?
Well, the reason is because over in the US, you guys like to spend money. Well, at least your customers do. And also, there's the structure is like this. In the US, your window cleaning is less frequent than in the UK. So you might spend, I don't know, you might charge $250, $300 minimum per property. Well, that's like £150, £150, £170 in the UK. We clean windows more frequently, and we're happy with like $15, $20. But then again, the house is smaller. You've got to imagine that we're on an island, and there's only so many houses we can build on this small island. And you're only talking, you know, 4 on the front, 2 on the side, maybe 3 on the back. You're not talking that generally with American houses. You're talking 20, 30 windows. Is that about right? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's probably pretty average. In fact, a lot of cleaning companies here always have that 20 window special, you know, but there's lots of, I mean, I had customers with 100 windows. People over here build monster houses. There's no doubt about that.
They do. And, you know, you can, and because it's an infrequent clean, it's once a year, twice a year, 3 times if you're really, really lucky, you know, you can charge the top dollar, but you're not just doing the external window clean, which is what a window cleaner would do. You're doing the tracks, the screens, you're doing the inside windows, you know. And I had a really, I had a customer call me, this guy, prospect customer, he called me, he says, do you do one-off window cleans? And I said, sure. We have a minimum call out of, this is just exterior windows, by the way, would take us, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes to do, I'm guessing. And you know, our minimum call out is $50 if you want us to come out and do that for you. Anyway, so that job was scheduled in today. And, you know, I like to go on the tools as well. This is something you'll learn about me. I am happiest window cleaning or video making films for my YouTube channel or doing my magazine, you know, writing for my magazine and putting that together. And so this job was scheduled today and I went and did it myself. So I went along to this job and I started talking to the guy about how, you know, what was your process of finding, you know, finding me as your window cleaner? And he says, well, he rang the first one and they only did commercial, which is fair enough. Some companies decide to do residential or commercial. The second company turned around and said, well, you know, we can do it, but, you know, we can't do it until the end of March. And this guy's going, well, that's no good. I'm off on my holidays and I need it in the next week. So that was no good to him. And then he had this other company ring up and that he rang. And he said, look, you know, he says, I'd like a one-off window clean. And the guy said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for me. And I thought to myself, how ridiculous is that? When I got to that job, I started speaking to the customer. And it was $50, but let's put it in pounds because it's easier for me to remember. It's £30 call out. And I was cleaning his windows. It took me about 40 minutes to do, and I did a really good job, and I was talking to the customer the whole time. That became a twice-a-year customer. Then the next-door neighbor came out and said, hey, dude, can I have your business card? Yeah, no problem. I'll get that sorted. And before you know it, the guy that refused the job on the account that it was just a one-off clean, he wanted a monthly cycle. That job would have been £12 a month. He would have been making more visits and earning less than I was for the cleans that I'd scheduled for this guy. It's always worth it.
Well, what do you think is the root cause of looking at it that way? Is it just a more pessimistic look in the world? Is it what's the deal? I mean, why you think a cleaner over here would be more likely to jump on an opportunity like that?
Well, I think the American market is different to the UK because of regularity, because of size of property. You pay more money as well. Your customers out there pay more money than the British customers would do. I think sometimes it could be a multiple reasons, but not to smell opportunity is probably a real bad thing, a bad thing for your business, because, you know, I will probably end up doing 10 properties in that street, and that guy missed out because, you know what, he said it wasn't worth it, but it was.
There's opportunity all around us, and all the little guys out there listening, you probably have no idea how huge your business could be if you just understood what to do and played the long game and built a real solid structure around your processes and stuff. I'm from a small town, and the town where I started my company, Lee, only had 15,000 people that lived in it. And I built a very big company with this being our home base. Now, we traveled out to some other bigger towns and stuff, but I think it's just perspective and seeing opportunity. My mom used to always say, Josh, God provides all of the food that all the birds need, you know, to eat, the birds on the earth, right? But he doesn't put it in their nest. You got to go get it. You got to go get it. You got to get off your butt, stop whining and complaining, and get out there and get it.
I was just about to say, and that's the crux of the matter, really. It's the difference between being switched on for your business for growth and not being switched on. Now, for all I know, the guy that said it wasn't worth it, he's probably just him and another guy, and he's just happy with that, you know? But if he's the other guy that has 10 employees or 20 employees, then he's not thinking about his business in the right way. And it's a mindset. You go to bed thinking about your business. You're thinking about how you're going to grow it at nighttime, in the morning, when you're having your coffee, when you're eating your bagel, when you're taking a leak, you are thinking about how to grow your business and where you're going to get the customers from. And being creative is important too. Trying to be creative with your business, because it's not just you out there. You think it's just you. It's not. There's like another 100 guys like you, and you have to find what's different, what the people are doing in your area in terms of providing a service, price checking as well. I mean, price is not always an issue, because if you have a quality service, then people are still going to buy. Some, you know, but in the UK particularly, in the US, I don't think you guys are too price sensitive, your customers, are they? But they really are to the penny in the UK.
Well, it definitely changes your approach. I mean, the big thing that I teach here with a lot of the people that I work with and people go through my business boot camp is creating what we call perceived value. You know, so we focus on things like the customer experience and the way that the customer feels when they purchase from you. And it's not just about the glass being cleaned. It's about the process. How did you answer the phone? What was the voice inflection? What did you say to them? Why were you different? How were you unique? How did you invoice them? How did you follow up after the job? And you know, some of these things are cultural, but some of them are fundamental human, you know, psychological truths. And if you provide a superior experience to your customer, you're going to be able to demand a higher price, because there's a higher level of perceived value. And I think from the few people I do know from the UK, there is more of a disconnect there. I don't think they buy into that idea the same way. I'm not the expert in the UK like that, but I got to believe, Lee, that if you provide a superior customer experience and you're a weird, in a good way, weird, unique, fun, creative company, that, yeah, you clean the window, but you do it better and faster and more unique and it's more fun, you're going to be able to get higher prices, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it is all them small things you talk about, Josh, because, for example, here's an idea. We had a new customer who had all their soffits, their white UPVC cleaned, their windows cleaned. It was the first clean of this job. About getting automated means having your scheduling systems, your vehicles tracked so you know where they are, because it is beneficial to your business. It isn't snooping on your employees, and I can give you good reasons for why it's beneficial. For example, this is one of them. We had this customer booked in. The operative or tech went along, did the job, and I could see within 5 minutes, I left it 5 minutes because I could see him on the map that he'd left the property. I picked up the phone and said, was everything okay for you? I mean, I don't know how many UK companies do that, but I know that the US guys do it more so.
Yes, and I'm trying to start a revolution over here to get even more to do it, because I think the big problem with guys is they don't know where to start. It's overwhelming, you know. It's like, because they're out working in the field, they're making the sales, they're answering the phones, they're doing the books, they're doing everything themselves in the beginning, and it can be an overwhelming, intimidating thought to even think about, how do I systemize my business? Where do I start? How do you do it? What does that even mean? You know, it sounds like this really scary word, but essentially, all the system is defining a specific way to handle something. And looking at everything that you do right now, because here's the big secret, Lee, and there's not a lot of million-dollar cleaning companies really anywhere, and especially in the UK, right? But here's the secret. Everyone already has systems. It's just that their systems aren't that good. Our whole life is nothing but systems. The way we think about ourselves, the way we talk to our wife, the way that we engage our kids, the way that we take care of our bodies, the way that we start companies, we're already doing a system. It's just, you got to ask yourself, is the way that I'm doing it right now maximizing my chances of getting as quickly as I can to my goal, my destination? And for me, it was to be able to move out of the country, have location freedom, as I call it. And for you, like you said early in the interview, you had these visions of what your company was going to look like. You knew that you needed these trucks and this team and this staff and all this revenue. And you got to have these systems in place to get there. So it was a natural progression for you as you work towards your goal, or I call it your why.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, systems equals automation. So, you know, if you are able to turn around and say you can take yourself out of that business and it would run itself, if you could do that, then you have your systems. It is automated to a degree. But then to take that to another level, let's say you have a turnover of, say you're at £300,000 or something like that. You want to get it. You want to get it to £1 million. You know, you now got to think about all the pitfalls and how to stage for that. What do you need that has to be automated? What are going to cause you problems? If you wanted to create £1 million turnover of residential window cleaning, then the biggest thing for UK window cleaners would be, number one, to deal with cash issues. Because when you've got a small business and you've got two or three guys that you really, really trust, to expand and scale up, you got to take cash out, because the chances are when you scale up, you're getting 10, 20, 30 guys. You know, you're bound to get somebody that might want to skim off the top, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And there's different stages. I mean, you don't need to have complex, you know, technology deployed in your business and all your trucks at the beginning. I mean, you didn't have vehicle tracking set up in year one. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to understand, you know, the different progressions, you know, what to do now, what to do next, what do you do after that? But you, the way that you have to look at this to make those decisions on what to do now is, what is your why right now? I break it into sprints for me. I don't know if you do this, but you had your business starting out and you wanted to have, you know, $1 million business, but you have to break that into bite-sized chunks. So maybe the first year you say, I'm obsessed with this. We're going to achieve this. I'm going to have this many guys, this many customers, this much revenue. This is my obsession. This is what I think about when I go to bed. This is what I think about when I take a leak. And then that's your deal. And then you recalibrate the next year and you put the next things in place that you need.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think, well, you know, USP, you know, unique selling point. How different can I be to the other guy? And I think to myself, you got to get creative. I mean, I'll give you an example on our residential window cleaning again. When we pick up a customer, we fully explain everything at the door. And when we do their first clean, we show them a professionally printed slip. And on there, it'll have all the payment details. It'll have our telephone numbers, free phone numbers, all of that. And then on it, we have the window, because don't forget, the UK is maintenance clean. So we don't even have to make an appointment. We just roll up to the house, get our kit out, clean the window, put a slip through the door, and we're gone. That's how we do it. And so what we do is, on the slip that we leave, we write the date, the time, and the initial of the tech, and all the payment details. And what we say to customers is, this information corresponds with the tracking devices in all of our vehicles. And their eyebrows light up, because sometimes customers don't even have the telephone number for their own window cleaner. If they wanted to cancel, I've had it a lot of times before where they said, well, you know what, we want to go with you. We're happy with the price that you've just given us. But we don't have the number. There's no accountability to some of these window cleaners. And in them instances, what I do say to them, I says, right, okay, if you want to go with our services, I'll tell you something that the window cleaner, that you can do to stop that window cleaner from cleaning your windows. Basically, put a sign in the living room window, the bottom window, saying that you've cancelled the service and you don't need their service anymore. They will not be paid. As soon as they see that, they've probably done half the window before they get to it, but they're not going to do because if you can't contact them, you can't cancel them, and you can't move, you'll have two window cleaners coming to your property, and that's no good. And it's all about accountability. And there is sometimes in the UK this, well, we don't know the window cleaner, we don't know where, we know he lives over here somewhere. But when we come to the door, it's about trust, and it's about telling them that here's our numbers. This is my cell number if you want it. You can call me anytime. You have any problem, you can call me. If you want something doing, you have a birthday coming up, you call me. And, you know, and giving them that reassurance that, because a lot of UK sort of customers have doubt sometimes. They say, well, I, you know, you're so quick window cleaning. We never saw you, you know, or they get a slip through the door and the window cleaner hasn't cleaned it. You know, these things happen, right? And so the customers are always wary about that. But we secure everything all in that one doorstop, you know? We give them all the information.
Well, it's a system, and you're creating a lot of perceived value. So, you know, it, let's say that you have a price that's slightly higher than the other guy. The other guy rolls up in a beaten down car, and he's kind of wearing regular clothes, and he writes the price on this little junky business card, and he, you know, has the junky equipment. A lot of this stuff is psychological, but if your price is slightly higher, but they get the experience that you just laid out, it's worth it, not because it's not just about price, it's about value, right? So I tell you, Lee, I have a great opportunity for you to buy a car. It's only $5,000. And you say, well, you know, I don't really need a car. And I tell you, well, Lee, you need to buy this car. The point is that you need to know what do you get for that $5,000? So even though $5,000 might be more than you wanted to spend on a car, what if I told you it was a Ferrari, a brand new 2015 Ferrari, right? So obviously, if your service feels to the customer like a Ferrari, and you're slightly more expensive than the guy who feels like a really junky old car, right? They're going to go with you every time because it's a better value. Things with higher prices still can have better value. And people, the right types of customers buy on value. And we don't want businesses full of customers that only care about the price only anyway.
It's about targeting your customers. You know, you have to pick the right customer for your business. Now, in the UK, some window cleaners like dealing with old ladies in their bungalow houses, they're 60, 70, 80, and they always pay cash. They don't use the internet, all of that sort of thing. Now, that sort of customer is not, that's not my customer. I don't want to deal with this cash thing. I don't want that. You can't scale up with that. You know, you're still stuck collecting money. You have to pick the right customer for you. And if we did an estimate for somebody, and we said, look, okay, that's going to be $30. They says, well, we got an estimate for $25 or let's say $28 or something like this, something ridiculous. I'm thinking to myself, does this guy want me to drop like $3 or something? And I'm thinking to myself, you're not the right customer for me. If you are weighing that small amount up, you're not the right customer for me. And it's about being brave and saying, you are not the right customer for me. And I've texted somebody that before who tried to do a similar thing. And I said, look, I'm really sorry, but you're not the right customer for my company. And she got a little upset and I got a little abuse, but I stuck to what my target customer, what I wanted my target customer to be.
Yeah, well, sometimes we forget how to say no, and we can't be all things to all people, right? You need to be, I heard this last night on a podcast I was listening to, but we need to be an inch wide and a mile deep in our niche. And what that means is you don't have to be the best commercial in floor cleaning and janitorial and lawn cleanup. And doing all these services for all these different types of people is a recipe for disaster. Instead, you need to be a specialist. And you need to have a certain type of customer that you serve at a very high level. And that's how you maximize the price and the profitability for your business, is by being an inch wide, but a mile deep. You know, serving them at a high level, having all kinds of customer experience things built into your processes. And when you're really small and you're hungry, it's really easy to say yes to everything. I know that I did in the early days. And as an example for our listeners, I'll tell you what our crews were trained to say to people when we'd get a price objection. When we were at the house, my sales manager would say something along the lines of this, and this is off the top of my head, I'm a little rusty, but here goes. If a customer would say, Josh, you know, the other company is $200, you're $300, this is exactly what we'd say. Mary, you know, I appreciate that. And let me step back 1 minute, Mary, and just, I want to give you just an overview of kind of how we do business, because we do business a little bit different than everybody else. And I want to make sure that we're a good fit for you. First of all, Mary, we provide a very high level of service. And that's not just the way that we're going to clean for you. It's the way that we answer the phone, the way that our technicians are dressed, the way that they're background checked. They're all adult professionals who are paid a living wage. And, you know, doing business like that, it costs a little bit more, but we feel it's worth it. And that's how we've decided to build our company. And I understand if that's not a perfect fit for you. You're right. We're not the lowest price, Mary, but we are the best value. And that's why. And that was a script. And it works like a charm because you're just logically laying out, look, there's a difference between price and value.
And you leave it in their hands. You know, they're going to see that you're genuine. They're going to see that perhaps most of the time they're going to see, well, you know, maybe this guy's got something here.
Are you looking for a simple way to get more sales, more referrals, and strengthen your customer loyalty? Look no further than sendjim.com. It was handcrafted for you as a powerful tool that will automate your follow-ups after the sale. Imagine being able to stay in contact with your customers all year long by pushing a single button on your smartphone. This is a space age warp speed technology, and it will eliminate the chaos inside your business caused by trying to properly follow up with all of your leads and customers. Sign up for a free trial with no credit card required at sendjim.com right now. What are you waiting for?
This is really good stuff, Lee. I want to transition a little bit over into the magazine and your YouTube channel because you have a really popular publication. It's done at a high level, just like your business. And it's super, super good quality. The content's great. The design is good. I mean, how in the world, briefly, did you even get into that? And what's the deal with that thing?
Well, I tell you what. I used to be a member of the Federation of Window Cleaners, which is it's a bit like the IWCA in the US. And they had their own magazine called Window Talk. And I used to look at this magazine and I thought, you know what? I can go from the front cover to the back cover really, really quickly, and it's boring. It's like there's not a lot in it. I want to see product reviews. I want to see glossy pictures of all types of things. I want to see business help. I want to see marketing. I want to see ideas of how I can put signage on my vehicles, you know. And so what I decided to do is I thought, well, you know, I'm not a writer. I will have a go at writing something. I'm quite creative. So I felt I could do that. And so really the window cleaning, the Window Talk, which is the Federation's magazine, was kind of my practice ground. And I would write all these articles on various things to do with window cleaning. And then one day I bought a branded water-fed pole, and I liked it so much that I wrote an article, a review on it, and I sent it in as my submission to the magazine. And they turned around to me and said, well, we can't accept this. I said, why? They said, because we can't deny that it's an advertisement for the company. Unless you can convince them to take a half-page ad out, we'll think about it. And that kind of rocked my boat. They were right, I suppose, to a certain degree, because they needed revenue. But it kind of put me out because I felt that I knew that people might want to read that type of thing. And I wasn't doing it in any way to advertise the brand. So what I did was I submitted another article and decided I'd do the research to see how I could create a magazine. And I thought, well, the easiest way to do this would be to make it online. And the beauty about it being online was that any hyperlinks or adverts placed within the ad, the reader would just have to click onto it and go straight to whichever website that was linked to. So that worked for, and that started building up readership. You know, I started, I think it was October 2011, was it? Something like that. I did my research. I didn't think there was any other magazine around. I did subscribe to American Window Cleaning magazine. I think that used to cost me about $80 or something at the time. I found that the articles were a bit generic in the American Window Cleaning magazine, but it just wasn't giving me that oomph, you know, that sort of glossy magazine feel of, wow, this is something I really want to keep, you know? And so, you know, and I did my research, and then I realized that Chris Lamanides had Window Cleaning Business Owner magazine. He just brought two issues out, or three issues out, before me. I don't know how I overlooked all this. I reached out immediately to Chris, and we did some, one of the issues we did a magazine mashup as well. So it was Window Cleaning Business Owner magazine and Window Cleaning magazine fused together. That was really fun to do, that was.
Yeah, I actually read that. I remember when that came out.
Yeah, and so this month, January, February 2016, we have the first available printed issue for anybody that wants to read the magazine at work and throw it on the dash when they're finished. And to come this far, and to believe, you know what, Josh? I started out on a council estate, right? I started out on a council estate, and I had the cleanest back door in the estate when I was practicing window cleaning. I used to do the straight pulls. That's how I started out, right? Doing the straight pulls. There's nothing wrong with straight pulls, nothing at all. And that's how I would do them. And you remember the story about Philip Mulligan and starting my business up with the other guy, my friend? Well, he used to do it the same way. And to get more experience, I fibbed, I lied. I saw an advert for window cleaner, and I made out to the guy, oh, I've been window cleaning for years and years, and I'm really professional. And it was a good hourly rate he was going to pay. And I went along to this job, and I remember the first house residential property we went to, his ladder was at the side of me, and I started this side door, which had glass in it, and I started doing straight pulls. He was halfway up the ladder, then came back down and said, you're not, in colourful language, doing it that way. And quite quickly, I had to learn to fan there and then on that day. So to come from them humble beginnings of window cleaning, who would have thought that I make a magazine which I enjoy reading myself and putting together, but it also takes me around the world. I get to see like amazing people.
Yeah, you travel all over the place. I mean, you shoot a lot of videos in the States, and I'm sure all over different places in Europe.
Yeah, for example, we have, I'm doing some filming in Amsterdam at the ISSA Interclean. That will be fun. Steve Blythe of Jay Racenstein. We do a segment called Booth Talk, and basically, essentially what it is, we find a booth that's window cleaning related, and we get them to explain any new products they've got. Sometimes we have a host, and that host for the ISSA is going to be Steve Blythe, so we're very grateful for him getting involved in that. And then, of course, there's other companies that just call me out of the blue, and, you know, some products I can't even mention right now, but there's stuff coming out of Europe. I've got to make several trips, and some of these products are gonna change things for window cleaners, you know? It's just exciting. I mean, people ask me, what do you do? And if I go to, you know, like a convention or something like that, and I just say I'm a window cleaner. I'm a window cleaner like you, dude. But, you know, that's not to take away the CEO mentality. You know, you could still be at the top of the tree of 40 guys, okay, and run a company. And if you feel like you want to say you're a window cleaner, you know, and you got a $5 million company, you know, but if you just want to say you're a window cleaner, that's allowed. That's okay.
No, it's actually more fun the bigger your company gets. I that's what I would always say too, you know, because sometimes you don't want to just explain your whole life history and unpack everything. So someone asks you what you do, I would say, oh, I clean windows. And that's all I'd say. My wife would roll her eyes, you know, because I had all this other projects going on and all these things. But the bottom line is that we all want to build companies that get us to our individual why. And whether that's spending more time with the family or it's building an empire that you're the king of, whatever the case is, That's what I like to help people do. That's what your magazine's all about, is helping us educate ourselves and arm ourselves with the information we need from not only people who have done it, but all the industry news and the stuff that's out there. That's what I appreciate the most about your magazine and your YouTube channel. I know, guys, if you want to connect with Lee, you can just Google his name, Lee Burbidge. It's in the show notes, B-U-R-B-I-D-G-E. And he comes right up at the top. He's a lot of videos, a lot of content out there. The magazine itself, tell me if this is right, it's windowcleaningmagazine.co.uk. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. .co.uk.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes as well. I just appreciate you taking the time. You have a very interesting story. You started with humble beginnings, just like I did, built a monster. Now you get to do what you love, travel the world, do media, make magazines, and you're just a fun guy. I know you're a family guy like I am. I appreciate that. And is there any final parting thoughts you want to add to the show?
I think vision is very important. You need to visualize where you want to be and write it down on a piece of paper and put it away and get the piece of paper out and look at it again, your goals, where you want to be, and realize them goals. You will, if you think and imagine yourself there, I promise you, you will be there.
I agree. I agree 100%. That's good words of wisdom, guys. Thank everybody for joining me and Lee today. And Lee, have a great day. I hope you're not too cold over there while I'm in sunny Costa Rica.
Thank you, Josh.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.